Welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries Bible Study. This is the message of the Bible, Lesson 16. I am Elder Faye, your teacher for the Message of the Bible series. This is Lesson 2 of a 3-part series on how our salvation through Jesus Christ is laid out for us from the cradle to the cross, and from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the heavens, where Christ now sits on the right hand of the throne of God and intercedes for us. As I read this, it started me to thinking, wow, if there's a throne in heaven, then there must be a king. If there's a king, there has to be a kingdom. Remember this as we go forward with this lesson. You can reference this in Hebrews 8 chapter or 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter. Let's get right into the lesson. If you were to ask the average Christian where they were going to spend eternity when they depart from this earth, they most likely would answer, I'm going to heaven to be with the Lord. Sounds good, because that's where Christ went. He ascended into the heavens. But to me, that's like an answer you would get if you asked a friend where he or she was going to spend their vacation, and they replied, I'm going to Africa. Well, Africa is such a vast continent. Before you could get a clear picture of where they were spending their vacation, you would have to ask them another question. Well, where in Africa are you going? It's strange. When we plan our vacation here on Earth, we plan and make ready knowing exactly where we are going and what we will be doing when we get there for that short period of time. Shouldn't we put just as much or even more effort in knowing where we will spend eternity and what we will be doing when we get there? After all, this is eternity. It's forever. The thought of just going to heaven after death gives us no clarity where we are going, not to mention what we were doing when we get there. It seems that we are living on the hope that wherever we are going, everything will be just fine when we get there. We seem to have no certainty or clarity of where we are going when we leave this earth. It's important that we take note of the opening statement in Mark, the first chapter, the 14th through the 15th verse. It says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, repent and believe in the gospel. Please pay close attention to this lesson. You may be in for some surprises. Jesus came from the Father with a message, and the message was not all about himself. But before we can understand Jesus' message, we need to get to know Jesus the person. So let's get a full picture of Jesus. So to get a full picture of Jesus the person, let's just take a moment and recap our last lesson. In our last lesson, we followed the shepherds as they visited the cradle where they found the baby Jesus laying in a manger, just as the angels had told them. We also followed the Magi, the 3 wise men from the east, as they followed the star in search of the newborn king until they came to a house and found Jesus with his mother in Bethlehem. By this time, Jesus was already about 2 years of age. They bowed down and worshipped him, offering treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The next time we see Jesus, he's about 12 years old. I want you to keep this statement in mind the next time we see Jesus. I've already given you one thing to remember. King and a kingdom. And now, the next time we see Jesus, keep those 2 things in mind as we go through this lesson. So let's continue. We see him as the baby Jesus at the temple. That's the boy Jesus at the temple. Every year, Jesus' parents, this comes from Luke, the 2nd chapter, the 41st through the 52nd verse. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking when he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus answered, "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Don't you know I had to be about my father's business?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured these things in her heart. There's something we should take note of this in Luke, the second chapter, the 51st verse. It says, "Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them." Jesus was not yet grown yet. He was only 12 years old. But out of obedience to his parents, Jesus goes home with them to Nazareth. This definitely should be a model for our teenagers today in our modern world, where teenage rebellion is just out of hand. It's too common. Let's continue with the 52nd verse. "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." The next time we see Jesus, he's about 30 years old. As John the Baptist paves the way for his ministry. In Luke, the 3rd chapter, the 1st to the 23rd verse, it says, "In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was the ruler of Galilee, during the high priest of Ananias and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness." In Mark chapter 1, let's listen closer to John's opening statement. "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Let me repeat this statement. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth with a gospel. Let's continue. "And it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare the way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord.'" The Lord means somebody with power, somebody with authority. Prepare you the way for this important person. Make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Then all the land of Judea and those in Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized in the Jordan River, confessing their sin and preaching and saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost," the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at this word baptize. To be baptized means to be immersed in something, to be submerged, to be dipped in, to be infused with. Let's continue. In Luke the 3rd chapter, verse 9, It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Jesus is getting his water baptism. John baptized Jesus with water. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Jesus is now being baptized. He's being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Then a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, and him I am well pleased." Once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will be tested to the fullest measure. After Jesus was baptized, he left the Jordan. Let's listen and learn how Jesus dealt with his temptation. In Luke the 4th chapter, the 1st to the 43rd verse, it said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus has been baptized with the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms. Well, again with this word kingdom of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authorities and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you will bow and worship me, it will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down here, for it is written." Ooh, this is interesting. The devil knows what is written also. Shouldn't we? Why don't we? Let's continue. With Luke, the 4th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, "He will give his angels charge over you to guard you and keep you. They will lift you up by their hand, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him for a more favorable time. After that, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Once you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, power comes. What kind of power? The power to spread the gospel. The power to give a message that will be convince people that Jesus is the Lord. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." That's because he had been baptized in the Spirit. "Because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendants, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue was fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, Surely you will quote this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. And you will tell me, do here in your hometown what we have heard you did in Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is a city where Jesus did most of his ministry and performed some of the miracles we are so familiar with. This is where he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He healed a nobleman's son. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. He healed a woman with issue of blood. He healed the centurion's servant and the two blind men. All of this he did in Capernaum. Take some time to study your Bible and follow Jesus' ministry. Get to know him. It's just amazing. I promise you, your life will never be the same. Let's continue. Truly I tell you, he continued, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of town, took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Then he went back down to Capernaum. Town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. That's what being baptized in the Holy Spirit can do for you. And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. At sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kind of sickness and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. When they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." Listen carefully to Jesus' statement in Luke the 4th chapter, 43rd verse. Jesus said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because that is why I was sent." Let's listen closely again to John's opening statement in Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm going to repeat the statement again. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth with a gospel. We have to admit that we have heard many messages about Jesus, but when was the last time and ever did we hear the message of Jesus? The message Jesus brought, the good news of the kingdom of God. We tend to believe the gospel is about the person of Jesus Christ. The gospel we hear so often about the person of Jesus Christ is very important to us as Christians, but he is not the gospel. If you study the Bible closely and be led into it by the Holy Spirit, it will reveal that Jesus is preached in concurrence with the gospel. And his role is enormous, but it's not the gospel. Let's take a look at the meaning of the word term gospel and kingdom. The word gospel simply means good news. The word kingdom simply means government. So I believe it is accurate to say that Christ preached the good news of the common government of God. I don't deny that most of the gospel we hear are also good news because they are about the message of God's plan for salvation for all mankind through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. We need to hear these messages. We need to know these messages. The gospel of the good news about him. Those benefits that he brought along with him for us. There are many of these messages the gospel of grace, the gospel of peace, the gospel of prosperity, the gospel of miracle. They are all good, good, good news. I thank God for having heard the gospel of grace, for it is the good news that Jesus is the Savior of the world, and through His blood, all who repent and believe in Him and have their sins forgiven, and many men may enter into the family of God. That is good news. We often hear the gospel of prosperity, quoting 3 John, 1 chapter, 2nd verse, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." And we cling to this scripture and never see the prosperity we are looking for materialize. When Matthew 6, chapter 33, verse tells us, "Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The good news that Jesus brought is about the kingdom of God. And when He returns to earth, He will set up the kingdom. He will rule all nations as King of kings and Lord of lords. We won't have to worry about being healed because there will be no sickness. We don't have to worry about prospering because there will be no poverty. Everything will be provided for us. All of our needs will be met. We won't have to worry about demons being cast out because there will be no sin or evil. Doesn't that sound like a place you would want to spend eternity? Residing in the kingdom of God forever? If we could just focus on this place as where we are going when we leave this earth, look how clear our minds will be. It gives you hope. It gives you clarity. You know where you are going when you leave this earth, and it makes living on earth until then more enjoyable. Try it. All four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. In Luke 9, chapter, first verse, when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. In Luke, the 10th chapter, the 8th to the 10th verse, soon after, He sent 72 others to preach, and they also carried the message of the kingdom of God. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, the 35th verse, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in our synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Did you notice that everywhere the kingdom of God was preached, healing followed? There's healing in the kingdom. In the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus came saying, "Now that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel." Christ was a messenger sent from God with an announcement. His message was not about Himself. It was about the kingdom of God. In Luke the 16th chapter, the 16th verse, it says, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is reached, and every man is pressed into it." In John the 14th chapter, 24th verse, Jesus said, "The words which you hear me is not mine, but the message He brought was not about Him." Jesus Christ's message, His gospel, was the good news of the kingdom of God, the common government of the living God. This should be getting clearer to you now. Let's look at Daniel, the 2nd chapter, 44th verse. Recall that Daniel wrote, "And in the days of the king shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break the pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it shall stand forever." In Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 3rd verse, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus pointed out to them a number of different signs and events that would occur first. But in Matthew the 24th chapter, the 14th verse, he stated, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the entire world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Please join me in our next Bible study message the next time we see Jesus, as Jesus makes his way to the cross to seal our salvation and is raised from the dead to sit on the right hand of the Father to intercede for us until he returns. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the Lord give you peace. Thank you.